spokesman Jeff Rathke says they'll comply with the order, even though the department originally wasn't going to release the emails until next year.
It's a large volume of documents, 55,000 pages. It requires coordination with, in some cases, with other agencies.
Speaking to reporters in Iowa, Hillary Clinton says she also wants her emails released as soon as possible.
I have said repeatedly, I want those emails out. Nobody has a bigger interest in getting them released than I do.
I'm Chuck Gomez.
Join us online for more special interest stories, news, and headlines at usaheadlinenews.com. This is USA Headline News.
For the first time, America's behavior expert Scott Farrell is offering you the Marriage Matrix. The system used for years to help save marriages is now available to you. The Marriage Matrix can save you expense, personal embarrassment, and maybe even save your marriage.
I'm America's behavior expert Scott Farrell. If you really want a shot at saving your marriage, get the Marriage Matrix today, and together, let's do this.
Call now, 844-HELP-US-0. That's 844-HELP-US-0. Or visit ismymarriageworthit.com.
There are no known injuries after a Boston-bound cruise ship ran aground in Bermuda. Passenger Rachel Hansen of New Hampshire says the ship had steering problems.
What they told us was that we lost steering. We lost steering control. That's what the captain told us, and that's why we ran into the coral reef.
Norwegian Cruise Line company officials say the ship lost power before running aground yesterday afternoon while trying to leave port. Power was restored, and passengers spent the night on board with no major issues. Arizona is reducing the amount of time welfare recipients can spend on the program. Republican State Senator Kelly Ward tells Fox News lawmakers have passed legislation that will limit people on welfare to just 1 year, half of what it used to be.
I hope that the federal government takes a cue from Arizona and tries to get things under control. We keep kicking the can down the road. It's not good for our citizens. You know, in Arizona, we were willing to bite that bullet. It was not a popular thing to do, I can tell you.
The bill will make the state's lifetime limit for welfare benefits the shortest in the country. The program will drop around 1,600 families, including nearly 3,000 children, when the upcoming budget year begins in July. Arizona State Senator Kelly Ward says there will be exceptions to the one-year rule.
We aren't going to kick anybody off who is having a hardship. People who are taking care of a disabled relative, people who are taking care of foster kids, people who have problems with getting child care.
As you head out this morning, you should know that federal regulators are ordering the recall of 34 million vehicles. The recall is because of defective...
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet.
Hillary Clinton appeared out of the sky thanking supporters for making her the Democratic presidential nominee. The talk around the crowd and amongst the pundits at the convention last night was whether or not Bill Clinton could still deliver. And when he started talking about what happened prior to their first date, everyone knew they were in for a long night.
She walked the whole length of the library, came up to me and said, "Look, if you're going to keep staring at me," and now I'm staring back, "we at least ought to know each other's name. I'm Hillary Rodham. Who are you?"
Everyone seemed to enjoy the walk down memory lane. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
And 51 votes for the next president of the United States of America, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Why was that voice special? It was Jerry Emmett. She's 102 years old and the honorary chairwoman of the Arizona delegation to the DNC. After the roll call yesterday that made Clinton the first woman presidential nominee of a major political party, Emmett said she cried, adding, quote, "I never cry." By the way, when she was born, women could not vote. Congressman Tony Cardenas agrees with Bernie Sanders. Now it's time to get Hillary Clinton elected.
Yeah, I think that there's some people that, you know, when the war's over, they're going to continue shooting, and that's unfortunate. But I think that's just something indicative of the passion that a lot of people have for their country.
USA Radio News.
QL1, you've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it? It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient. Hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason. Oh, hold on. I wasn't finished. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
A new study shows nearly half of all cancer cases in the United States could be prevented with 4 lifestyle changes. Oncologist Shelby Terstripe of Sanford Health in North Dakota says quitting smoking is at the top of the list.
Smoking causes inflammation in the body, and there's almost 11 different types of cancers that are associated with smoking. And by stopping smoking, we can decrease those cancer rates by 48%.
Also on the health beat, there's another case of West Nile virus in Mississippi. Randy Bell has a story.
The state health department's confirming a second case in Lamar County. That brings the statewide total this year to 5. Last week, we heard about an unusually large number of mosquitoes carrying the virus in Hinds County. And Deputy State Epidemiologist Dr. Paul Byer says that's not the only hot spot.
We've picked up a number of positive mosquitoes for West Nile in Lincoln County as well.
But so far, there's been only one case of West Nile in Hinds and none so far in Lincoln County. Randy Bell in Jackson.
This just in, John W. Hinckley Jr. will be released from a government psychiatric hospital more than 35 years after he attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan and shot 3 others outside the Washington Hilton March 30th, 1981. Hinckley is 61 and it's said he no longer poses a threat to himself or others. USA Radio News, I'm Rod Williams Stoll.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back. No, not welcome back, but welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's program. And I'm going to talk about obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, we hear about OCD and a lot of times people will say, oh, that's my OCD. And I think we all have a little bit of that. A little bit of obsessive compulsive disorder, but just the same way, we all sometimes get depressed on occasion or have some normal anxieties or maybe have a little bit of narcissism. Doesn't mean that it's a full-blown case of things like that. I think we all have a little bit of some of these things that occasionally kick in. But obsessive compulsive disorder, the disorder, is characterized by obsessions and or compulsions that are time consuming, distressing, that can interfere with our normal routines, and they interfere with our relationships with other people. They interfere with our daily functioning. So obsessions themselves are persistent impulses. They are ideas and images or thoughts that intrude into our thinking and can cause excessive worry and anxiety. The compulsions are mental acts or repetitive behaviors performed in response to the obsessions to relieve the anxiety or to relieve the worry. They often have an intent of what I would call magical thinking. In other words, I'm trying to avoid some dreaded disaster, illness, death, some type of misfortune by doing this particular behavior. So, magical thinking. Magical thinking is something that oftentimes is developed in childhood, and most children actually tend to have magical thinking. It is when I have, oh, you know what? If I do this, I'm going to have this result. Or let's say I am a soccer player and I want to get a goal tomorrow. My soccer team is playing and I believe that if I clean my room really good, then I'm going to do really well and I will get that goal. It's magical thinking. It's a, if I do this, then I will have that kind of response. Very different from, well, if I use a hair straightener, then my hair will be straight. You know, that's there's no magic in that. That's a proved fact. Magical thinking is if I turn the light switch on and off 20 times, then I'm going to have something happen. Okay. Magical thinking. And again, it's to avoid, generally speaking, some kind of dreaded event. Obsessive compulsive disorder, until recently, was categorized as an anxiety disorder. However, it still has its basis in anxiety. And generally speaking, people who are obsessive compulsive recognize that their obsession is irrational. However, the obsession or the compulsion spurs them on to continue the behavior that they were having. Now, when we think of obsessive compulsive disorder, we think of people with OCD. Generally speaking, we think of the people who wash their hands and wash their hands and wash their hands. We think of people who turn the lights, like I suggested, the light switch on and off, on and off, on and off. Make sure the stove is off, on and off, on and off. That is generally what we think of. And like I said, we all have a little bit, did I turn the stove off when I leave? I don't remember. Yeah, you know what I did, and then that's it. Obsessive compulsive disorder means I turn around, I go home, and I check. And I turn the stove off 10 times, and I go to leave, and I come back home because I'm not sure, and I turn the stove on and off 10 times. Okay. So, someone who is like that tends to be what I'm going to say, a checker. Okay. They are always checking something. Doors locked. Light switches off, stove off, checking, obsessively checking. Windows rolled up, windows rolled down. Okay. The other form and there's many forms of obsessive compulsive disorder, which oftentimes we don't recognize that. People, again, who are washers and cleaners, okay, so they generally have a lot of anxiety about contamination by dirt or germs or viruses or foreign substances. So they're always cleaning, washing their hands, washing their clothes, washing different things, cleaning their house for hours on end. Then we have the people, this is also obsessive compulsive, ordering and repeaters. In other words, these are people who need to have things in perfect symmetry. Okay? So, it's not just about turning the light switch on and off. It's doing it just right. So, there's an order to do it. So, that means I might need to go around my living room, starting with the red lamp, then I go to the blue lamp, then I go to the green lamp, and then I go to the light switch. If I go to the green lamp and then the light switch, I have to start all over again. Okay? So there's a specific order in doing something. I have to do it in a perfect, exact way. So this might include a specific way of tying my shoes or a specific way of combing my hair or making sure that my clothes are all in like a rainbow order in my closet or all of my dishes are turned the right way or all my books are in a symmetrical, nice equal distance from large to small on the bookshelf. Or, you know, great movie, of course, is as good as it gets. You know, all of my M&Ms need to be separated in colors and jars, okay? Then we have what we would call pure obsessionals. These people have unwanted, intrusive, and horrific thoughts and images that cause a lot of distress. Sometimes they're violent in nature. Sometimes they're sexual in nature. They are unwanted thoughts that pop into their head that sometimes are followed through with performing a behavior, such as they monitor their feelings around a particular circumstance. And then they have mental rituals that bring them relief of the thought. A lot of imagination goes in with this one. They may engage in repetitive thoughts such as counting. So, I find, let's say, you know, if I'm struggling with this one, I'm always counting to 10. I'm always counting to 10, and I'm looking for things that I count in tens, and I'm always counting in tens, or I'm repeating a certain word, or I'm praying. I'm saying the same prayer over and over and over and over again, working at counteracting the anxious thought. So, I'm sitting at a restaurant. Someone walks in. I have this obsessive thought about beating them up. I start counting or praying. Okay? There's a bit of mindfulness in some ways to that. But what it is about, it's really about countering the anxious thought. Or what if this person that walked in the restaurant is going to come and hit me? Okay, let me start counting and praying and, okay. Now, we don't often think of this next one as an obsessive compulsive disorder. We have television shows on it. Hoarding. Hoarding is an obsessive compulsive disorder. People can develop a strong attachment to an item or overvalue its importance and keep it. What if I need it? What if I need it? And we'll get to the what-ifs in a little bit. One of the things that happens is letting go of things can cause so much distress that it's easier just to keep it. And then we end up with piles of stuff. Then we have something called scrupulosity. Sounds like a big word, and it is. Scrupulosity. People with scrupulosity. This is out about people who are obsessive about religion, ethics, and moral issues. somewhat fanatical, we might say. But they demand a code of conduct that they themselves go far, that goes far beyond what other people can do. Their compulsions may involve prayer or seeking reassurance from others regarding moral purity. So you can see it's more than just washing your hands or making sure your books in a nice symmetrical order. And when somebody touches those books and they're not in order, you have anxiety, so you got to put them back. Now, I mentioned the what ifs. Yes, what ifs are a part of anxiety. And they are a part of obsessive compulsive, they are part of the intrusive thought. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the other thing happens? So, that what if thought can actually kind of take over. And it's very uncomfortable. So, there are some things that sometimes we might think of as being obsessive compulsive, and they have obsessive compulsive qualities to them, but they are not obsessive compulsive in general, such as superstition or religious rituals or even prayer. It depends on sort of, I'm going to say, the underpinnings, for lack of any other word. Some of these things might be, you know, superstitions or religious practices may have more to do with culture than OCD. Prayer, for example, can be an important part of life. And a lot of times when people incorporate that in their life, it's not based in superstition. It's part of their life. It doesn't distract them from normal, healthy relationships. It doesn't cause any significant impairment or distress or anxiety, or doesn't consume large amounts of time. As I said, almost everyone has some worries. Many people have a prayer life. A lot of people have some superstitions, such as, and this is, you know, one in my family, it's a superstition. You know, if you come in the front door, you got to go out the front door. If you come in the back door, you got to go out the back door. It's a superstition. Substance abuse, addiction, compulsive gambling. These are not obsessive compulsive disorders. However, there may be obsessive and compulsive aspects to it. These are addictions. These are addictions. The compulsion to use is not based in anxiety other than the fear of getting sick. People who have addictions also are seeking pleasure. And for the most part, people with OCD are not anticipating the pleasure or satisfaction of their ritual. They actually are uncomfortable and don't like it, but they can't stop themselves from doing it, or so they think. Another thing is an eating disorder. Again, an eating disorder, though it has some features of OCD, it is not. There can be a relationship, like I said, between these things, but it is not. Now, one of the other things that I do want to mention is we do have something called obsessive compulsive personality disorder. So this is OCPD. This is different from obsessive compulsive disorder. So when we start talking about a personality disorder, this is something that begins in early childhood. It's part of someone's personality. It has its tentacles in everything that we do. So it's not just obsessive about a particular behavior such as washing hands or hoarding. It's intrusive into all of our thoughts and all of our actions and all of our relationships. A person who has OCPD oftentimes can be very rigid, struggles with perfectionism, has the need to control, and it makes the OCD behaviors much more difficult to change. Generally speaking, people with OCPD, the personality disorder, have a much harder time seeking out help. Because this is part of who they are. The way I describe, I kind of simplify it, but the way I describe a personality disorder in general is someone who might be colorblind. They have no idea what a particular color looks like, and they just live their life with the colors that they see. It's just part of who they are. So, again, there's quite a few things that are included in OCD. Again, contamination obsession, you know, fear of germs and dirt and sticky things and touching animals and insects and being contaminated by others, diseases by others. And then there's the hoarding, saving, and collecting. The urge to pick things up from the ground, uncomfortable with empty spaces, worrying about throwing things away, and then the ordering obsession, preoccupied with symmetry, and everything has to be in perfect order and just so. Of course, like I said, there's the religious obsessions and scrupulosity, having blasphemous thoughts and saying bad things and being punished for having negative thoughts and being concerned with religious beliefs and right and wrong and morality and dwelling on religious images or thoughts. Somatic obsessions. Okay, so now we're talking a bit about people who... Okay, the word just went out of my head, are always afraid of getting sick, and may feel fear from an illness or being around someone else who might be struggling with an illness. There's aggressive obsessions, people who are preoccupied with hurting themselves or hurting others or acting on unwanted impulses, such as running someone over with their car or harming others through their own carelessness, feeling responsible for some terrible accident, especially if they're not even around, blurting out insults or obscenities or doing something embarrassing, looking foolish. There are sexual obsessions. There are unwanted and worried and intrusive thoughts on sexual things or impulses or images. Thoughts about molesting your own children or other children. Fears about becoming homosexual. Sexual violence. Okay, thoughts and images of sexual violence towards others. That these are intrusive. They just kind of pop in to the head, into the brain. Worrying about losing things. Worrying about making a mistake. Bothered by the feeling of clothing or textures. Fear of saying the wrong word. Being superstitious about some particular word. Fear of a particular color out of superstitious reasons. And these are just, I mean, there's so many of these things. And these are obsessions, the compulsions, of course, hand washing, showering, ritualistic toothbrushing or grooming or house cleaning, cleaning certain rooms in a certain way, cleaning certain objects, cleaning techniques that are specific, fear of things being contaminated, checking, okay, did I harm someone without knowing it? Did I harm myself? Did I make a mistake? Did something terrible happen? Got to check. Always taking blood pressure. Always testing heart rate. Checking locks and windows and doors and all of those things. Of course, like I said, hoarding and saving. And then there's the repeating and counting. Reading and rereading and rereading. Or writing something over and over and over and over again. Going over it. Okay? In other words, I'm signing my name to a check. I sign it again. I sign it again. I sign it again. Excessive rewriting. Repeating routine activities. Counting items. Compulsively counting. Checking. Washing. Arranging. Interpreting thoughts as good thoughts and bad thoughts. Self-talk or mantras over and over again. Even symptoms such as pulling out your own hair, your eyelashes, damaging or self-mutilation, compulsive shopping, okay? Generally speaking, depression goes along with OCD. And relationship issues also go along with OCD. So often, someone who is obsessive compulsive, their relationships deteriorate because the other person interferes with the ritual. They may borrow a book, not put it back in the right place. They may have come in from outside and they touch you, so you got to wash your hands and wash your hands and wash your hands. You become angry and disoriented when things have been rearranged. The level of anxiety goes off the charts. So you become angry and frustrated. And isolate, because it's easier to keep the rituals in your life when people are not there. Because this way they don't interfere. And they don't interfere with the main thing that you're trying to do, which is relieve your high levels of anxiety. Now, does OCD run in families? Well, in part, there can be some genetic predisposition. Sometimes OCD can have early childhood onset, and you're more likely then to have someone in your family who has OCD. I also believe that sometimes it is caused by some type of trauma. So it can include a psychological or physical trauma or abuse or family stress or illness or death, divorce, major life transition. Something can trigger it. So if I have a biological predisposition, the way I'm handling it is through OCD. There are some studies that say that OCD is related to an abnormal functioning of one's brain's chemical messenger of serotonin. So serotonin is that neurotransmitter that is one of those feel-good ones. So sometimes we have trouble with that, and the consequence can be obsessive compulsive disorder, which why sometimes, a lot of times, medication can be useful. So I'm going to actually take a little break and come back and talk a little bit more about OCD, but I do need to have our commercials and the people who support Hunterdon and Chamber Radio, and I will be back. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselors Chat, and I'm also a licensed professional counselor, so I will be back in a few moments.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, Parent Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselors Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor. I have a practice here in Flemington, and if anyone is interested in finding out more about what I do, you can find me on the web at altarollcounselor.net. That's altarol, A-L-T-A-R-O-L-L, counselor.net. So today I'm talking about obsessive-compulsive disorder. That obsessive-compulsive disorder has many forms. It's not just about hand-washing. It has to do with thoughts and behaviors, that it can also be a personality disorder. And it's very distressing. It can affect relationships. It can have a side effects of depression or even sometimes people can become suicidal because of the interference of the obsession and how painful it actually is. And that it is an anxiety-based disorder, mainly because I have a fear of something, and I can relieve the anxiety by this particular behavior and or thought. I also mentioned before the break that medication can be useful, and I do work with people struggling with OCD, and mostly speaking, my clients do go on medication. So it's between a couple of things that actually, because the good news is we can treat OCD. And medication generally is not sufficient. I will say that with most things, medication isn't sufficient. My personal belief is that we over-medicate and we under-counsel. And we really need to do it the other way. We need to counsel and really be careful about the amount of medications we put people on. But there are a number of techniques that can be really useful in working with people with obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, one of the things that I generally do is I work with people in terms of first discovering what the obsessive compulsive disorder looks like. And then I begin to help them with something called a SUD scale. That is subjective unit of distress. What does that mean? Well, how distressed am I when I touch a doorknob that someone else who just sneezed touched? On a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being excessive, I've absolutely got to go wash my hands. And I've got to wash my hands 35 times because I absolutely have to do it to relieve the anxiety. Okay. So what this does, what this scale does, is it begins to list the different ways, the different ways that my compulsion, my obsessive compulsive disorder shows itself. So washing hands, checking the windows, turning the stove on and off, turning the lights on and off, hoarding things. I list them, okay? And as I'm listing them, I also use this scale to say when I walk into the room and I see that my books are not in order, my anxiety level goes to 80. When I touch a doorknob after someone sneezed, my anxiety level goes to 100. Okay, so we begin to list and look at the intensity of the anxiety that is caused by a particular situation. What that does is it begins to give us a picture. And one of the things that I do is I draw this picture, and it's funny. I used to draw it. I've always drawn it, but one of the things is I went to a workshop on OCD, and the presenter drew the same picture, and I thought when something like that happens, just a little aside, I always go, oh, good, I'm on the right track. So what I do is I draw like a graph, like an L shape for the graph, and I put 100% anxiety at the top and zero anxiety at the bottom, okay? And what I demonstrate to people is that I kind of go up and down this roller coaster. So I touch a doorknob, my anxiety goes up. I wash my hands 15 times, my anxiety drops. I touch a doorknob, my anxiety goes up. I wash my hands 15 times, and my anxiety drops. You see how that's going? Up and down, very jagged, up and down, like a roller coaster. My anxiety goes up. And then I do this behavior and it goes down. One of the things that happens as I am doing that is I am reinforcing. Okay? I am reinforcing a behavior in my brain. So we talked a little bit about magical thinking. Magical thinking. Someone sneezed, touched the doorknob. I just touched the doorknob. Magical thinking, that means I'm going to get sick. That's my magical thinking. Now I'm going to get sick. So If I wash my hands 15 times, that's also magical thinking. I'm not going to get sick. And I'm reinforcing. Every time I do that, I reinforce it. And sometimes these things start logically. And sometimes they're not logical. Doesn't matter. They're all about relieving the anxiety. In other words, walking backwards 5 steps helps relieve the anxiety. It's magical thinking. We all know logically walking backwards 5 steps does not relieve anything. But it's the magical thinking that relieves something. Or there's a specific word I can't use because it relieves the anxiety. It creates anxiety if I use it. There is a magical thought attached to it. But the more I do it, again, up and down, this roller coaster, I am reinforcing. And when we do the subjective units of distress, we can see what things cause distress and how high the distress can go. So that we can have many different charts showing, well, when this particular thing happens, you know, my books are out of order, my anxiety goes to 80, I straighten my books out, it goes down. When I touch a doorknob in a public restroom, my anxiety shoots up to 100. Okay, so I begin to even chart and see the depth or the intensity of particular situations and what they cause. Now, we have this thing as human beings called habituation. And this is the technical term for it. It's something as all human beings, it's actually, a very important aspect of being a human being, habituation. It's one of the things that has allowed us to survive and has as a species and has allowed us to also thrive. Habituation. The majority of us have gone swimming in our lives. We get in the pool. It's really cold. We stay in the pool. The water temperature doesn't change. It becomes comfortable because we adapt. That's habituation. So that something uncomfortable after a while can actually become comfortable. This happens with positive things. It happens with negative things. I'm going to use a negative example. Prostitution. First time someone prostitutes. Very uncomfortable. Over time, becomes almost normal. Habituation. First time someone shoplifts. A lot of anxiety. After a while, the anxiety drops. Getting good with it. Getting used to it. Habitual, okay? Eating hot food, spicy food. Oh my gosh, it's so hot. But the more we eat it, the less it is affecting us. Okay. So one of the things that happens when we have OCD is we have a technique called exposure and response prevention. Okay, it's based in this principle of habituation. What does that mean? Well, I am really afraid if I touch the doorknob, I'm going to get contaminated and I must wash my hands. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actively participate in touching the doorknob. I'm going to allow myself to feel the anxiety, and I'm not going to wash my hands. Now, the anxiety may appear to increase because I'm not relieving the anxiety of touching the doorknob by washing my hands. However, over time, just like getting in the pool, over time the anxiety begins to drop. Over time, the anxiety begins to drop. So what that means is that I need to stop the behavior and recognize the anxiety level. Again, that's sort of where this subjective units of distress can actually be useful. So the thought of touching that dirty doorknob produces 100% anxiety. How long can I go without washing my hands? Let me give myself 5 minutes. I'm going to do that for a week. And I'm going to purposely touch the doorknob and give myself 5 minutes. Next week, I'm going to purposely touch the doorknob and give myself 10 minutes. I'm going to purposely touch the doorknob, give myself 15 minutes, and instead of washing my hands 10 times, I'm going to wash my hands 5 times. It's deliberate. Okay. It's sort of like Pavlov's dogs. The bell rings, the dog salivates. Okay. What I'm doing is I'm retraining my brain. And part of what this does, okay, the exposure response principle. Basically, what that does is it eventually brings forth something we call extinction. Okay? So, it means that after a while, my level of anxiety drops and may completely disappear because I am no longer reinforcing, again, don't you think about that, up and down roller coaster. I am no longer reinforcing the relief of the anxiety by the hand washing. I'm stopping that and I'm extinguishing the behavior, stopping, and I'm actually extinguishing the anxiety because I'm learning how to be with it, like being in the pool. So I'm no longer reinforcing the trigger of touching the dirty doorknob with washing my hands for relief. I'm no longer triggering that. It's extinguished. So that's one of the things that we talk about when I work with people who have obsessive compulsive disorder. And that's one of many things. But so many times there are other things that need to get talked about, such as intrusive thoughts and increased anxiety over the what ifs. And we may need to use some cognitive behavioral therapy with these things. Now, cognitive behavioral therapy, okay, means that I have a belief system. It's the belief system that gets triggered by an event. I made a mistake. I have to be perfect. Then I have some type of behavior, okay? Can't throw anything out, okay? Can't be wasteful. Should never waste anything. That's a belief system. I should never waste anything. I must keep everything. It's a horrible and terrible thing if I throw something out that I might need. These are belief systems. The consequence is I'm hoarding. So, I'm hoarding because the belief system is causing anxiety. So, we may need to also work at doing something called changing the belief system. I can tolerate. You see, it's basically the same thing. I can tolerate touching the doorknob and not running off and washing my hands. I can tolerate throwing something out. I may not like it. I don't like touching a dirty doorknob. I don't like it, but I can tolerate it. I can tolerate it. Or I can recognize that it's just maybe an intrusive thought or an urge, and I don't have to act on it. The what ifs. I can change my what if to a what is. What is? What is now in the current moment? What is going on? Not what if. What if? Oh my gosh, what if can take us down such a road of anxiety? What is? What is right now in the present moment? Let me change my thoughts. Let me shift my thinking. Noticing self-talk is really important. So that self-talk, I must do everything I can to keep things clean. That's a belief system. I can tolerate things not being clean. I'm noticing my self-talk. I can't stand it when. You know what? I can stand it when. I can tolerate. These things are really important. And this is such a broad topic. I could probably talk on this for a couple of hours, but I'm seeing that I'm getting down to the wire here. But I do want to say that OCD affects the whole family. If you're noticing that a family member is exhibiting signs and symptoms of OCD, it's really important that you learn as much about it as you possibly can. Talk about it. You know, and there's a lot of shame and guilt and self-blame among, you know, family members. Did I cause this? What's going on? How can I? I'm really angry at this person. They're intruding on my life because of their obsessive, compulsive stuff. You know what? Let all that go. Don't lecture. Encourage them to seek help. Don't shame. What's wrong with you? That's shaming. Don't participate. You have to wash it. Don't participate. Stop enabling. In other words, I'll make sure I'm going to clean the doorknob so that when you go to touch it, you're not going to go wash your hands 15 times. Work at disengaging from the rituals. I had a couple that struggled. The husband struggled with OCD. The wife would sit and wait for hours. They're going someplace because he had to do all of his rituals. And I said, take two cars. Don't sit and wait for him. Go. Let him do his thing. When he's gets to the point where he can't tolerate it anymore and he wants to change, he'll change. And we will work on it. Don't interfere. It can be dangerous, actually. Because what happens is if you're interfering with someone's rituals, it's going to skyrocket for them. You can tell them, you know, I'm not participating. I want to support you in getting well, but I'm not going to participate in the OCD behavior. Use humor. Humor plays a huge role in recovering from a lot of things. So as a family, you can be supportive. Now, one of the things that I use, and I do want to mention this because I did get some of my information out of here today, it's the OCD workbook. It's called the OCD workbook. I think it's fantastic. It says, Your Guide to Breaking Free from Obsessive Compulsive Disorder by Bruce M. Hyman, H-Y-M-A-N, and Cherry Pedrick, P-E-D-R-I-C-K. It's a fantastic workbook. It has all kinds of worksheets that are so important in terms of all of these different obsessive compulsive issues that I talked about. And